Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, welcome to the Star Wars Stuff podcast, where we talk about all things Star Wars. My name is James.
And I am Joseph.
And David is not here today, unfortunately. We just looked at his chair,
he's not there. We both did. we looked at his chair, and it was sad.
It was really sad. He's not here.
He's not dead or anything. He'll be back probably next week, but he's got family obligations, and that's cool, man.
Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do. So this week we meet, and Joseph says, what are we gonna talk about? Nothing really happened, and I was like, that's what we're going to talk about. That's right. So Joseph, you were wrong. I think you owe each of us like $10 for...
I offered to bet several times. We've got it recorded. Nobody ever took me up on the bet.
So. I think because we were nervous we might lose, and you'd get, you know, that much more money.
When I did my solo podcast, was it last week, I believe, mm-hmm. like right before the Super Bowl came out, That was just me eating crow. Like, I was very not happy to report that news, but yeah.
So the Super Bowl Star Wars TV spots did not happen. Apparently, it was never even planned. It was never even thought of. It was just people on the internet just
trying to get clickbait.
And it worked. We
bought it hook, line, and sinker.
We clicked the bait. And there was never any plan. There was never any ideas of them actually doing a Star Wars television spot at the Super Bowl. And then after you read the why, it made a lot of sense why they didn't do it. And but we were all still very, very disappointed.
Yeah, and it feels like they still could have given us something, but they didn't. So luckily, I didn't really get to watch the Super Bowl, so I didn't sit through the most boring game of American football that's ever existed.
Yeah. Jamie from the South Texas Cinephiles was with David and I. We watched, mm-hmm. and we were just like, this is the worst thing in the whole world.
What was the final score, like 9-3 or
something? It was
13-3.
Pats won. Anyways.
Nobody wants.
And then
Empire won again.
And then a couple of days later was the shareholders call, which Bob Iger and crew do each year. And normally
we were very jazzed about this because I think the last shareholders call that they had was where Bob Iger was talking about the Benioff and Weiss series, mm-hmm. and all the exciting stuff that's going to be coming out of the Star Wars universe. And I had never listened to one of these before, and I happened to be off on Tuesday when the call went down. I was like, dude, I'm about to listen to this. I'm about to get the first run on some news. Mm-hmm. We were making plans. We were like, dude, we're going to get together as soon as the call's over. We're going to podcast. And we listened to the whole call, and they didn't even mention Star Wars.
They mentioned the video games and Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah.
But then even Galaxy's Edge,
they didn't give us any new information on
nothing.
It.
He was like, I think I could just send out a tweet saying when it's going to open, and that's all we need to do. And I was like, well, you got a point. But still, come on, give us something.
So that was a waste of... It was like about an hour of my life. I mean, luckily I had chores that I needed to do at the same time. And it was interesting to listen to because, you know, as consumers, we're just like, what's the next thing they're going to put out to entertain me? It was kind of cool to hear it from a different point of view, from a certain point of view. Tied it back into Star Wars, where they're talking about, you know, the quarter one earnings last year versus this year, where they had Wreck-It Ralph out this year as opposed to The Last Jedi last year. And it was interesting to hear the comparisons between the two and the way that their marketing brains work more than the give me more Star Wars brains that that the three of us have. So.
Yeah, very, very true. And it was an interesting call. I caught the tail end of it And I was just curious why none of the shareholders asked
anything.
Do we have a title of Star Wars? No, nothing. They didn't. Nobody. I wonder if they sent out an email and they said, "Don't ask this question yet."
I mean, it's possible.
It is possible. So it's looking like we're not going to get the title until either right before Celebration or at Celebration. Right. So what's your like? Do you think we're going to get it before or during Celebration?
At this point, man, I have no idea. My assumption is at Celebration, but I could not tell you. I think it was you the other day who was like, man, I don't think this movie even has a title.
Yeah, I know, right? And apparently we just found out that Pablo Hidalgo and the Star Wars story group, they don't even know what the title is.
So. That, I think Pablo tweeted that out yesterday or the day before that. Saying... we're recording this on Saturday, by the way.
Yes.
not on Monday.
Don't break the illusion. Okay.
So on Monday, it would have been 4 days ago. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they don't even know what this dang thing is called. So
So here's my theory. I think only three people know what the movie's called. Okay, maybe four.
Okay.
One of the producers of, he did the, he's Bad Robot. He's with, I forgot. I know, I see his face. I just can't think of his name. Kathleen Kennedy.
And J.J.
J.J. Abrams, and then the other screenwriter, Chris Terrio, I think. Uh-huh. Those are the only four who probably know the title. The cast doesn't even know the title of this movie.
You think?
I don't think they know. I think they each got the script, and it just had a big Roman numeral 9 on it.
Redacted.
Yeah. And there's this, I quoted this movie, and it's weird, but the movie JFK. With there's a scene in the movie JFK, directed by Oliver Stone, has Kevin Costner, where they're talking to Joe Pesci's character, and Joe Pesci's character's freaking out, and they're like, who did it? He goes, who did it? No one knows, man. The shooters don't even know who did it. You know, who assassinated JFK. And so I thought, hey, man, like, what's the title of the Star Wars? Man, the people who wrote it.
The people who wrote it. Doesn't even know who titled this movie.
So I'm also wondering whether or not, like, Abrams is just keeping it, like, it's his. You know what I mean? Like, to the point where there's no leaks. There could be possibly no leaks because he's keeping it all in his head.
Well, and even the leaks that have come out, like the horses and things like that, felt staged. Like, he wanted us to see those leaks. So, I don't know, man. I'm getting antsy about it. I really am. Like, I'm starting to get kind of nervous a little bit. I don't know.
Like, nervous in a good way, or nervous like this could possibly be something bad?
Nervous in a nervous way. I don't think there's any other emotion tied to it other than the anxiety that it's giving me. That I think it's just an anxiety because I want to know.
Yes.
They're doing a really good job of, like, hyping up the excitement about this movie
without doing anything.
And I think that's genius on their part. It's one of those things where they're like, I wonder if even they were like, hey, here's a leak to the people that were just trying to get the clickbait.
Yeah.
Like, here's a leak about when the things are going to come out. And then when the things didn't come out, they're like, oh, that we never gave anybody that information.
And then, like, somebody on Reddit was posting this picture of like an official page Star Wars, and it said Balance of the Force.
Right.
And I mean, that picture went everywhere because it was a screenshot of a screen, obviously, and it went everywhere, and everybody was like, oh my gosh, that's the title of the movie. And nothing, it didn't come out. So I think Abrams and crew are keeping it hidden and a secret, one, to build hype, and two, they can take their time still. Like,
yeah,
they can wait until April, which is what they're doing.
I mean, they could wait till October if they wanted to.
Exactly. We're still gonna go watch the movie,
right? And we've said it on this podcast before. All they have to do to really sell a Star Wars movie is go, hey, there's a Star Wars movie coming out in December. Not going to give you a trailer. Not going to give you a title. Your butt's going to be in that seat.
Yeah, when you know what? Yeah,
I'll be. And you know what? My butt will be in that seat.
Front row right away. No, I always joke around. Yeah, hurt my neck. I always joke around and say all Star Wars needs to do to promote the movie is to literally show a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, the fanfare starts, the Star Wars logo comes out, Episode 9. The title, and then right when you see the first line, fade to black.
Yeah.
Like, that's all Star Wars needs to do for a teaser.
Right as the yellow hits the screen, just
right, poof, black. And then everyone's going to be like, color, like writing in what the first line is, you know, all this other stuff. And that's all Star Wars needs to do.
It's always insane the amount of hype people get for things like that, where they're just like, oh, I'm going to figure this out. And there's no way you're going to figure out the first line of the Do you the crawl?
You remember the Russo brothers put out that picture of him there?
Yeah.
And it's like people were like, the title was there. It's in game. It said it the whole.
Right.
And then people were just crazy.
Yeah. Reaching. It was like, look, you can see the D with the way the ladder's leaning.
And yeah. Like, and the A was the ladder. The A was the ladder. Because of how the shape of it.
That's right.
And then they were like, the D is this, and
I never saw the G.
The M is over here. And I was like, you're just drawing lines, man. Yeah. Knock it off. But that's us with Star Wars.
And the level of fanaticism that's heading into this movie, I think, is going to be at least...
It's going to be insane. Big. And they need to promote it that way. And David has weird sources. I don't know where David gets his sources. He's talking about some people he knows... I don't know if he said on the inside, but people who have like a lot of access.
Right.
Apparently the teaser is apparently done, like we've been saying,
right.
And it's a tearjerker.
Yeah. I'm ready to cry, man.
I'm ready to cry.
I'm ready to be hurt again.
You know, yeah, I know, right? So let me ask you this question. I know we're probably going to be discussing it leading all the way up until, you know, December.
Right.
How many times are you going to want to watch this movie knowing it's the final Skywalker saga? Because
a lot probably so. I think for every Star Wars that has been released since I've been alive, I've seen at least 3 times in the theater. That goes 1, 2, 3 and 7 and 8. 7 I saw 5 times in the theater.
I saw Force Awakens about 5 or 6 times in theaters. Last Jedi I was only able to catch 3 times.
Yeah, Last Jedi I only caught 3 times. But I mean, once they get out on home video, I watch it
immediately.
I probably watch them once a week. I just throw one of the Star Wars
but
on
the mindset of, because this is the last one. Are you gonna, because I don't know how it's gonna end. It might end tragically. It might end victorious. Like, what if it ends and we're all just devastated that that's it? You know what I mean? Like, are you going to want to go back and put yourself through that again and again and again?
I personally will, because I like The Last Jedi. So much stuff happened and I was reacting to things that were happening on screen so much that I missed some stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the Mary Poppins moment. Like, I was nearly devastated at that point. I was like, I when she blew out that window, I went all the way to the edge of my seat and I was like, no. Like, in the theater, I was like, that's I know she's not alive in real life right now, but that's not how they can end this character.
That's There's I no felt way. The exact same way.
And yeah. I was just, the pit in my stomach was so huge. And then she opens her eyes and moves her hand and flies back into the, and I was like, oh, thank God. Like, it was a huge sigh of relief. And I think everyone around me was feeling the same exact way at that time. And, you know, there was just things where I missed stuff because I was busy reacting to it. I wasn't able to just watch it for what it was, because it was the first time I'd seen something that I knew I was going to get all tied up in.
Because I remember when I saw Force Awakens, I was just like, oh my gosh, Star Wars is back. You know, like, this is real. Because I always joke and say, right before Star Wars comes out, I'm always afraid someone's going to be like, just kidding. James, you really thought there was another Star Wars movie? And when Force Awakens came out, I kind of started getting nervous.
Right.
Like, thinking, what if it doesn't happen? Like, what if this was all just a big trick?
Just a trick on you.
But then I'm like, but wait, like, I just saw the images from Celebrate. It was stupid. It was a stupid thing my brain does. And then I watched The Force Awakens and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I went back like a week, no, not even a week later, like 3 days later to watch it and finally to go, okay, I'm going to sit back and just watch this movie without being too, you know.
Right.
And then I think you need to see Star Wars at least 2 times after you see it the first time. Because the first time you watch it, you're just like, oh my gosh, this is like I still remember when I saw Attack of the Clones after the crawl went up and the camera pans up, my brother Charlie was hitting me in the leg. He goes, we're watching it right now. And I was like, stop. You know?
I know, dude.
I was like, I know. And that's what it is. Because you're just like, oh my gosh, this is it. Like, you see, you read the words and you're like, this is happening. So you miss so many things the first time you watch a Star Wars movie. And then the second or third time is when you start to really...
It clicks in.
Yeah. And so for me, The Force Awakens was one of those that I was like, oh, that's a good movie. It wasn't just a cool Star Wars. It was a great movie. And The Last Jedi, I read all the, I went home and read all the bad reviews, and I was like, oh man.
And I didn't, I still don't understand, because I know I left The Last Jedi, and I was like, that's not really the Luke that I would, had envisioned mm-hmm. As a fan, but I dig it. Like, I like the way that they took this character, yeah. and I like his sort of redemption arc at the end there. And when it was getting lambasted, I was frankly kind of confused by it. Yeah. And, you know, some of the things had some good reasoning yes. behind it. But overall, yeah, I watched that movie 3 times. The first time, I was just busy reacting. I didn't have enough time to pick up on the subtle things that were happening in there. The second and third time, I'm just there to pick up details that I yeah. missed. And, you know, sometimes even like character names I don't pick up the first time. And, you know, you read about how the characters were developed, and then you go back into the movie with that knowledge and you go, oh, I see how this character, like DJ, mm-hmm. you're like, I see how DJ got his name and all that yeah. kind of stuff. I don't know.
For me, The Last Jedi, we talk about it all the time. That was one where there were so many layers. There still are many layers in the film.
Right.
And it was kind of genius of Johnson to do that in a Star Wars movie right. where you're not really expecting
too many things to dissect.
Yeah,
it's just, you're expecting guy shows up with a laser sword and defeats the enemy, which is
what happened. But then you start to look at what the overall, right. like what he was really going for. And there were so many things, like the third time I watched it, like the Poe Dameron stuff clicked. Cause mm-hmm. I was really salty about Poe Dameron's, like that whole,
like thing. The way they were treating
yeah,
him.
Yeah. And then you're Haldo, like,
well, he was kind of being yeah, a jerk.
Kind of like, a jerk.
He deserves to be treated this way and to a certain like, extent.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm thinking, dude, he almost killed Poe and not Poe. He almost killed Finn and Rose by sending them on that stupid mission. Like,
yeah. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah. Like, he wasn't thinking as a leader of the resistance. He was thinking as a guy, as a,
we need to do this now. We need to go. We need to,
right.
Don't think about it. Just, we need to do it. And then, so the third time I watched it, it clicked whenever he says they didn't make it. And like the look on his face, I was like, oh.
He's like, this is my fault they didn't make it.
I was yeah. like, and once I saw that scene, the movie got like 10 times better for right. me. And then I'm thinking, but it was always there.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a hidden thing in the movie. It was always there. But it's just one of those things you really don't pay attention to when you're watching
right.
it. And The Last Jedi was one of those where you had to go back and rewatch it. So do you think Abrams is going to do that for us? And do you think he's going to make it for us to go back and watch it over and over again?
I think the rewatchability of episode 9 is going to be through the roof.
It has to be.
He has to
make it that way. Yeah.
And when I think about like the way I was introduced to Star Wars originally.
Mm-hmm.
I was introduced with Return of the Jedi first.
Yeah.
That was my first Star Wars movie. I know it's the last of the Skywalker
yeah.
trilogy, but that was the first movie I ever saw. And for me, it was like, well, now I got to figure out how Luke, Leia, and Han got to this point. I know Vader's Luke's dad. I know Leia and Luke are brother and sister somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's cute teddy bear things that can kill and eat stormtroopers. But how did we get here? So that is what brought me back to 4 and 5. And then 5 is my favorite of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I mean, 5 is probably... 5 might actually be my favorite movie.
Yeah.
Ever.
I know.
Not just Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
It may be my favorite movie.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, when people ask you, you know, what are your five favorite films of all time? I know you have a definitive list because you're a lunatic. But... But I always clump like Star Wars as one,
mm-hmm.
or I'll do the trilogies as one because it's hard to pick a favorite. It's like picking your favorite children, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah.
obviously, OG, new sequel, prequel. Anyway, but
just so you know,
but if you really were like, no, you have to pick one film out of this 9-film saga, 10-film saga now, I would pick Empire every time.
Yeah, I pick Empire as well. I think Empire's. I don't know. Irvin Kershner he was able to capture something with that script and just make it.
Yeah, man.
Well, we never would have imagined, like, because Empire Strikes Back did what it did, Star Wars was able to continue.
Well, and Empire Strikes Back is like the way that the Han and Leia story go one direction and the Luke story goes another direction.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you could have made an entire movie out of either one of those story arcs.
Oh, yeah.
But the fact that they're both in one movie. And you've got Luke flipping around on Dagobah with Yoda and learning And it's just, it's good. Everything about it is good. It's basically, it's like watching Karate Kid. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, like he's training. He's learning the ways of the Force. He's learning his faults. He's learning what he's strong at and what he's weak at. He's learning everything. And then you've got this crazy run from the Empire love story mm-hmm. with Han and Leia, where it's they're slammed together on the Millennium Falcon. They don't have a hyperdrive. Like, they're gonna die. And the only thing they have is Han's skill as a pilot and his wit, basically.
Yeah.
And
which thinking about, that's an amazing plot line in a, for any movie.
Right.
Any movie at all, they say, okay, our two heroes are being chased by this person, like on, like we can even say, like on the road, like they're on a chase on the road, and they're in that, and it's just the two of them stuck in one little area. And then we go from there.
But the two of them, I mean, if it was like on the road, it would have been from like from Texas to California.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how long they're flying, and they're on edge, and they're running from the Empire, yeah. and they're just afraid of death. And then you get the cool like worm thing in the asteroid, and
just
I could watch Empire right now. I might watch it when we get done.
I want to watch it too. the worm thing always reminds me, and it's almost like Lucas was like, oh yeah, but it's a Star Wars movie. It's a space movie.
By the way, there's cool creatures.
There's cool creatures, yeah. Okay. And that's how I always felt whenever the thing popped up. I was like, what the hell? But
oh, man, I never get anything. Never get to get any spaceships.
Wasn't that Simon Pegg who did the voice for that?
I'm not sure. I know it was on Robot Chicken.
Yeah, yeah. Have to look it up.
Do you want to order Chinese? Yeah. Let's order Chinese.
But yeah, so Empire is amazing, and a lot of people think Last Jedi kind of did almost the same thing that Empire did, which was kind of you have your plot line that you're pretty used to with the first movie, and then the second movie just goes, and we're gonna do it this way,
right?
Which is what Irvin Kershner did with Empire, and so 9, Abrams has to figure out the perfect balance,
right?
And I don't know how he's gonna do it.
I think he's the man for it, though. I mean, 7 was so good, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people are just like, it's just the exact same thing as the first one. But it has to be. It has to parallel. Like,
yes.
That's one of the things George Lucas was always so keen on anyway. The prequels had to reflect the original trilogy. And I think the sequels reflect the original trilogy just as well as the prequels did. Maybe even better because of those parallels that you get in Episode 7. I don't know. I love Star Wars, man. I just got so hyped about Star Wars. Like.
So let me ask you this. So Master and Apprentice, the book is coming out.
Yes.
And Claudia Gray released, I don't know if she did, but they released kind of a synopsis of it. And it's about, you know, Masters and Apprentice, obviously Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon, and how Qui-Gon doesn't want to fail Obi-Wan, but at the same time Obi-Wan doesn't want to fail Qui-Gon.
Right.
So you got these two forces going, and it seems like they're gonna go on a planet. I forget the name of the planet. I feel bad. And something's gonna happen to where Qui-Gon's gonna start having like visions of like what's happening
to come
and the why he focuses on this,
on the prophecy.
Yeah. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm wondering with whether or not, like, with all of this, it's going to have to tie into not only 4, 5, and 6, but 7, 8, and 9. Like, so Qui-Gon sees stuff that's going to go all the way. Yeah.
Well, and I think what Qui-Gon is going to see is things that could apply to Anakin or could apply to Rey.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I don't know. I haven't read the book, obviously. I cannot wait to read the book. But, you know, when they talk about the prophecy in the movie itself, it's pretty vague.
Like, it's very vague. He'll bring balance to the Force. And one of the things we keep seeing now in the sequel trilogy is this whole balance thing.
Right.
So it's almost like Anakin wasn't the chosen one.
Right.
Maybe Anakin was what was going to get the chosen one, like that
discovered. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a whole thing they can play with. I mean, is that a cop out to you, or does that make sense?
It makes sense. I think it's a little bit of a cop out. It's just like, I mean, the Force is sort of balanced. But yeah, I don't know. But Rey is just so gosh darn powerful.
Rey's powerful. Rey could be the chosen one.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like one of those things. And like I read years ago. Just before we go, I don't click on any more theory. Episode 9 theory websites. Like
I always click on them with a huge grain of not of disbelief. Like I'll read it and be like, well, now this sounds like a load of dog caca.
Yeah, exactly. because I always get my hopes up high, and then it's like that didn't happen. But one of the things, somebody had a theory way back when, which was the prophecy was they got it wrong, and Luke was supposed to tell her it was wrong.
Right.
It was never supposed to be my Anakin. Father. Yeah. It was somebody else. And that was one of the things somebody said that's going to happen in episode 8. Didn't happen.
Right.
So now I'm like, ah, it's probably not good. But I'm wondering now, like, him being the chosen one, him bringing balance to the Force is like, it seems, it still works. Like you said, it still does work that Anakin would not be the chosen one.
Right.
Like, because he is bringing balance to the Force by introducing that to Luke, and then Luke is now going to introduce that to
well, you know what I mean? The way, in my mind, the way he always brought balance to the Force was there were two Sith left at the end, and there were two strong Jedi left at the end, Yoda mm-hmm. and Obi-Wan, and Anakin and, or Vader and Sidious.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, two and two makes balance in my mind. Yeah. And so, but then they sort of started ruining that possible balance, not ruining, but making, you know, they did it for storyline reasons with your Kanan Jarrus's and your Inquisitors and mm-hmm. Things along those lines. Like, that's pretty unbalanced.
Yes, very, very true.
So, I mean, maybe the chosen one wasn't Anakin. Maybe it was his son, or maybe it was some girl on a desert planet whose parents sold her for drinking money.
Yeah.
You know, it could be anything.
And we still don't know if that plot line is. If you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, I mean, geez. It seems simplistic, but at the same time, I almost want it to be real, like, because especially with the way Johnson was setting up the anybody can make their own story in the galaxy. Anybody mm-hmm. can be the focal point of a Star Wars movie, basically. Mm-hmm. The fact that, you know, some junkers who sold their daughter into poverty to go get their next buzz.
Mm-hmm. And then to see how she to goes see
her from, go from a little girl just collecting things off of broken down Star Destroyers to a teenage girl doing the same thing. And then the call for adventure comes, and mm-hmm. it turns out she's one of the most powerful Force users
which that's ever existed. That's an amazing story.
And then
story.
You see little Broom Boy at the end of episode 9 too, like, or not 9, 8.
8, yeah, easy.
I'm so excited about
9. All right. I'm so excited about 9 too.
it just makes you think anything could happen in the world of Star Wars. Anybody could be
mm-hmm.
a now, Jedi.
I'm the same. Like, I kind of wonder whether or not Kylo was telling her the truth. You know what
right.
I mean? Like, I wonder if that. But then at the same time, I do like the idea of almost like a nobody in a planet. Luke says, yeah, that is pretty much nowhere. who through crazy circumstances is now thrust to be like the focal point of this, of like the climax of this whole right. story that's been spanning, you know, 40 years, you know what yeah. I mean? And I love
decades, not just in the real world, yeah, but yeah. also in the Star Wars,
in the Star Wars world. Yeah. So yeah, I love that so much to think like this girl, Rey, out of nowhere is like the key to everything.
Right.
And even I always get chills when Yoda says, you know, lost Ben Solo, we might have, but lose Rey, we can't. I was
right.
like, dude, I was like, Yoda just said Rey's name and no one else.
Well, and the other thing is like that's kind of a callback to when Yoda and Obi-Wan are talking in Empire mm-hmm. and, you know, when Obi-Wan's like, he's our last hope. And Yoda's like, no, there's another.
So a lot of people, that's Leia. But then it's like, yeah, it's Leia. But then it also, he could have been referring
to Rey. Yeah, he could be referring to Rey.
But I don't know. How do you feel? Is that another cop-out?
That is probably. That's yeah, that's a stretch. I definitely don't think.
And then I read that book. If y'all haven't read it, read it. A Certain Point of View. It's amazing book.
Some of the stories are.
I skipped one of them.
A+. Some of them are. When they get a little bogged down on in the cantina on Tatooine.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to know every single one of their stories. It's stupid. Like, I didn't want. I forget. It was like a 30-page story.
Yeah, I read it all. It was okay.
I couldn't do it. I got tired of it.
What's crazy in that book too is like Greedo had like the busiest week ever up to getting shot right? in the chest.
he was super busy.
He was all over the place. He's in like three or four of those.
And everybody was like afraid of him, and nobody and right. people were like, oh, there's that slime ball Greedo, you know, blah blah blah. Yeah. blah. But there's a really great story about Yoda on Dagobah, mm-hmm. and it's like, oh my gosh, and all he can think about is Leia.
Mm-hmm.
Is he's like, man, I can't wait till I get to, I really wish I would have held on to the lightsaber because I wanted to give her father's lightsaber.
Right.
All this other stuff, and then you find out that was what he wanted, and Obi-Wan's like, you need to train
Luke. And Luke's the one.
Yeah, but what it was he says, I want you to take on a new apprentice, and Yoda's like, yes. And he goes,
yes, really? When's the girl showing up?
When is she showing? He goes, no, not her, the boy. The boy. And he's like, no.
Yeah,
and then he has this whole reason why he doesn't want to.
But it's basically the same reason he didn't want to train Anakin.
Yeah,
he's too old. He's too afraid. He knows fear already. Mm-hmm. He knows,
and that's another thing. Like, and he even says it in Empire where he's like, "Many years have I watched this one gazing off into the horizon mm-hmm. with no thought of where he was and what you were doing." Like he's overhitting him, and that was what he had a problem with. Whereas Leia was much more calm. She was much more force oriented.
Right.
And so you look at the reasons of why Yoda wanted to train Luke, didn't want to train Luke. Then you watch The Last Jedi and you're like, he was kind of right. He was like, this guy, he doesn't think.
Well, and the other thing is, like when you think about the way, like reading the Claudia Gray book with Leia,
mm-hmm.
The way the force manifested itself in her versus the way it manifested itself in Luke. I mean, we don't have a whole lot of Luke using the force as a kid, but mm-hmm. I mean, he's able to fly through Beggar's Canyon, hit Womp Rats, mm-hmm. you know, do all sorts of crazy violent things, really, yeah. where Leia, the only time she winds up using the force is for self-defense,
mm-hmm.
to scale a mountain because she's gonna fall and die otherwise.
Yep.
And then I wouldn't be surprised if she's like was subtly using it to influence people around her without even realizing that she was doing it.
That could be a plot they bring in.
And so Leia is a center of calm and using the force for the purposes that the Jedi would have approved mm-hmm. it being used for, whereas Luke is like, man, check out how awesome my instincts are. I didn't get blown up, or I didn't, you know what I mean?
And Luke was kind of just a teenager.
He's a cocky kid.
You know, and he blah, 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 blah. And even the way he says, I'm Luke Skywalker, I'm here to rescue you.
Yeah.
It's one of those things like, oh man,
you are one cocky jerk.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And then they quickly realize, wait, we don't, she was going to get out eventually.
Right. Know? I mean, she would have figured it out. She's a smart.
Oh, speaking of which, Galaxy of Heroes, yes, Galaxy of Adventures, they did Leia's, and I was like, oh my
God. Where she's getting out of the prison and she's just being Leia.
And it was like, sometimes like the princess doesn't need to be saved. And like you see, and it cuts to her in Empire and then her in Return of the Jedi. I was like, this is kind of the most amazing.
That one's great. The one that they had with Dooku and Yoda.
Yes, that was pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't catch that the first time they watched episode 2 because everybody was too busy yelling when Yoda was fighting.
Right.
I love what he says to Dooku, which is, fought well, you have my old Padawan. And it's like, dude, that was like his student. Like he fought his student and was gonna defeat and even Dooku.
He
would have
taken him out if he hadn't tried to kill Obi-Wan and Anakin.
All right, so we're going to go everywhere. Somebody posted a video or a thing. Who would win in a lightsaber fight? Kylo Ren or Count Dooku?
Dooku.
I think Dooku would have won.
If it's just straight lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
He was the better swordsman out of everybody.
I think only Yoda
could have beat him. Only Yoda could have, yeah. Maybe.
And then Qui-Gon? later on, Anakin.
Do you think Qui-Gon could have defeated Dooku?
No.
No?
No. He couldn't even beat Darth Maul.
I know, but Darth Maul... did a cheap shot there. Like I think he did the cheap shot on purpose because he knew he wasn't going to be able to defeat
the bump in the face.
Yeah,
I always, that's not a cheap shot. That's part of dueling.
I always feel like he would have held his own if he hadn't have done that. And there's even that face of Maul looking kind of frustrated mm-hmm. there at the he's like, good God, this dude is just
going toe to toe with me.
So I think Qui-Gon was a really great sword. He was a really great sword.
I do too, but I think in the scene where the plasma shields or whatever those mm-hmm. things are pop down between them and he goes to meditating, I honestly think Qui-Gon sees him not defeating Maul mm-hmm. in that scene and Obi-Wan having to take up his cause with Anakin. I honestly think he brings himself to the Force. He goes, okay, I'm resigned to this fate. I know what's going to happen for the next couple of minutes here. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not going to beat this guy. I know he's better than me as a duelist.
So is Qui-Gon one of the most powerful Jedi, like out of nowhere? Or do you think...
I don't have a ton of reference to go off of, mm-hmm. other than what I know from the Clone Wars and things like that. But I think he was... I wouldn't say he was powerful. I would say he was very in tune with the Force.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He really... If the Force told him or gave him the instinct to go in a certain direction, he would listen to that instinct and go mm-hmm. in that direction. He wouldn't... even if it went against what the Council said to do...
Which is what happened.
Happened all the time.
Yeah,
because he's going, no, the Force is telling me something different from what's coming out of your mouth. So I'm going to go do this, which is why he got in trouble all the time.
Yes,
but he didn't care because he was listening to the Force, which
I think we're going to see a lot of that in the book, Master and Apprentice.
Yeah, I think so too.
And we're going to be able to see what I'm looking forward to with that, though, is to see whether or not Qui-Gon saw Rey like in the future. You know what I mean? Like whether or not that's the big thing.
The thing I'm looking forward to in that book is I'm going to be honest. I'm looking forward to Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon like fighting, like arguing
about something
about the Force. And, you know, you the only real disagreement you get in episode one is him being like, dude, if you just listen to the Council, you'd be on the Council. And
yeah.
And Qui-Gon's like, nah.
Nah, dude.
Nah, dude, I don't want to do that, man. Like the Force, man, you know?
It's just such a crazy, crazy thing to think about. But I don't know. Well, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to their interactions. And the way she writes dialogue is...
The way she writes story.
Excellent. Yeah.
Like, the way I love it when she'll write something and it's like she throws in like a little hint there.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa, I know what that reference
like,
is.
Or like seven chapters later, that little one line that you're like, why did this person say this pays off?
Yep.
And you're like,
it's awesome.
You're amazing.
Yeah, you're a great author. Well, one thing I liked about she wrote that chapter, Master and Apprentice, as mm-hmm. well in A Certain Point of View, was how Qui-Gon knew what was going to happen to Obi-Wan, where he's like,
right.
Obi-Wan's talking to him, and he's like, well, you're not going to be able to see that. You know, you're not going to be able to do that. So, pretty soon. And then I love the reveal of Yoda. He's in his little hut, and then he looks up and he goes, ah, okay. Mm-hmm. You're here now. And you look up, and Obi-Wan's there with him.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, man, that's freaking awesome. what else we got? What else we got? Sorry.
So there was just the smallest amount of news, I think. Was it Taika Waititi said something off of the set of The Mandalorian, right?
Yes,
he was talking about how in tune with the original trilogy The Mandalorian's going to wind up feeling.
Yes.
Which I was already super jazzed about The Mandalorian and a little disappointed that they didn't talk about that when they were talking about the Disney Plus stuff on that conference call.
Yeah, it was really... you think they would have done something.
They would have mentioned something. But that's fine. Whatever. but, yeah, so, I mean, that's exciting.
And then we just received a text message from our producer, Colin, about a supposed leaked concept for... Episode 9, and it's really, it looks like someone just took a picture of
Halloween costumes.
Yeah. And I don't know, how do you feel about these? Like, do you think these are real? We'll put them up on our Instagram page so y'all can see them. They're gonna be up there.
I think some of them are potentially real. The worm creature on letter Q looks like something out of like Labyrinth.
Yeah. And then Kylo looks like he's gonna have his helmet back.
But
it's all messed shattered. Up.
I think that's the image David showed us a couple weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
The weird looking droid up there on B.
I don't know. I don't think it's real. I guess I'm not gonna believe anything anymore with these leaks, because
anything that comes out, don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't want to.
Whenever I'm watching episode 9, I'm just like, this can't possibly.
This
be
is not
movie.
Happening.
This
no.
isn't the movie.
This isn't the movie right here. Like I always think right before. So all right. So in closing today,
other bit of news was the Jedi Fallen Order video game that was supposed to come out in 2020. I think it was even like summer of 2020 or late 2020, is being moved to late 2019, autumn of 2019, instead of deep into 2020.
Is this EA Sports?
It's still not EA Sports. It's still EA. Yeah. Okay. And they did still cancel the other game.
Which was what was it called?
It didn't ever have a title. Oh, okay. It had a couple working titles. One of them, I think, was Star Wars 1313. Mm-hmm. But it was the game that they wound up canceling was supposed to be this huge, like, multi-world game where you could get out of a spaceship and explore the planet that you are on.
That's huge.
Yeah, and you would be able to interact with things and go on missions on those planets, or take a mission from Tatooine and go to Hoth and work that mission out, and then come back to Tatooine to get your money for it and things like that. And they canceled it just because it was not turning out well. That game had been in development since like 2013.
Oh my gosh.
And so, you know, after 6 years of it just not working, it's probably a good idea to finally just scrap cancel it.
Yeah, it's not going to work.
But yeah, we talked about that a couple of weeks ago, with that game getting canceled.
And now they're saying they have another game.
Well, they were working on Jedi Fallen Order simultaneously at a different development area. This one was out of Vancouver, I think. The other one was out of Los Angeles or Chicago. I can't remember. EA's got
multiple
studios going. That's how, if you guys play any Assassin's Creed, they put out like a new Assassin's Creed like every other year. And that's how they do that, is one studio is working on one while the other one is working on another one.
It's pretty smart.
It's not dumb, but sometimes those games don't flow together because they're made by two totally different creative teams. Totally besides the point. But Jedi Fallen Order is going to be a storyline game, like a linear storyline game, as opposed to open world. But I'm excited for a new storyline. It'll be more along the lines of Force Unleashed.
Yeah.
So,
and it takes place after a Return of the Jedi, I believe, is like what one of the some Jedi things
Fallen people order. I actually don't know when it takes place. I just know I'm going to buy it and play it.
All right. Yeah. So yeah, there's going to be this new game coming out this year, and I'm going to buy it too. Yeah. Definitely. On my Xbox.
PlayStation 4. Or Switch. I have a Switch. If it comes out on Switch,
I'll get it on Switch.
I really love my Switch. I'm not going to lie.
I'm going to get that Mortal Kombat. But anyways.
Totally besides the point.
Totally besides the point. But anything else today?
No, I think that does it for... I mean, there wasn't a lot of news. There was a lot of disappointment this last week, but no news, unfortunately.
But it'll get better, though. It'll get better. I know it will.
It will. We just have to be patient.
Well, thank you very much for listening to our podcast today. Check us out on Twitter at SWSPod2187. Also, Instagram and Facebook. Just look up the Star Wars Stuff group or the Star Wars Stuff podcast. You'll find us. And if you want to send us an email with some questions, or you just want to talk to us, we'll respond. And send us an email at StarWarsStuffPodcast@gmail.com. And also, if you'd like to donate to our podcast, just do PayPal.me/StarWarsStuff if you want to donate. You don't have to. But thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week with another awesome topic, and may the Force be with you.
Always.
Pew, pew, pew.